I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I mean, is Jadon Sancho good?
Well, Flav, the thing is, I was reading my signed copy of Gareth Southgate's book, Anything Is Possible, which I received from Gareth himself after a brief chat between the pair of us at a Michelin-style restaurant where we had a seven-course meal with wine pairing. And he says, not here on the page where he signed it to me personally, where he said to James, and that this book is actually for teenagers. And I got home and fam went, oh, I said, oh, I got it signed. He went, she looked at it, she went, you didn't get it signed for Koa? I'm sorry, I just got me excited because I was with Gareth. Anyway, but Gareth says that anything is possible. So, yep. I mean, maybe. I mean, he's looking pretty good as our boy Jadon.
Mate, sensational performance, unreal. And it begs the question. Yeah, great. Well, hold on a second. You had the meal, you had the meeting, you had all of that, and now you've got to talk about the book. Is that what it is?
No, I don't. Absolutely don't. I will say is what, you know, I think the book, I had a bit of patter with him, right? So, okay, I don't know if I told you. So guys, I met, what actually happened when I met Gareth Southgate yesterday in a Michelin star restaurant with seven course meal and wine pairing? I had, this is typical me, you'll get this. Basically, I was only supposed to have a photo with him. Everyone was getting a photo with him. Massive thank you to Hugh Blow and Saf, who invited me. Bloody good food. Anyway, but prior to that, there was like a brief Q&A, and I got really panicked because I thought, are they going to go? I was on the table with the people that kind of like are in front of camera, and I was really worried they were going to go, come on, you lot, ask a question. My brain was going, right, what's a good question? What's a good question?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, do you know what I'd like to ask him? I bet he does a lot of sort of research on like other sports and stuff like that. I was like, is there anything you're reading at the moment that's like at the front of your mind going into the Euros in terms of like elite sport and stuff like that? Anyway, that didn't happen. The Q&A didn't happen. But then when I went to have a photo with him, I felt it was weird just to get the photo and not have a brief chat. So I said, all right, Gareth, I was going to ask you. I asked him that question. And he said, do you know what he said? He said he went to a thing recently where there was actually some interesting stuff actually in the Q&A, but he said that he went to something recently where it was about learning and how you can, what's the best way to learn and what's the attention span of younger people and how you keep them listening to what you're talking to.
Is he talking about young players or just young people?
I think young players, really. Yeah, I think obviously he's from a different generation to the squad himself. So if he's doing, you know, if he's doing a meeting, but they're not listening, then what's the point? But what was really interesting is that anything is possible. No, again, I'm not getting paid for that. But he said now's a really weird time because you have no control over anything, like because you don't know what your squad's going to be because you don't know who's going to be fit and who's not. But he also said that we're still waiting on 5 or 6 players. Are they going to be fit? There's only a few weeks left of the season. Do we bring them? He said, do we bring them knowing that they're not going to be fit for the start of the competition, but could be fit later on in the competition. And that, when I was thinking, why did you say that? I thought about Luke Shaw.
There's a video.
Is who I thought about. Oh. Well, I just thought about Liz. He said there's a lot of succession planning. So, like, if someone does get injured or if players don't make it back, there's obviously a problem with the left back position. So I wonder if someone like Luke Shaw, even if he doesn't make the end of the season, and I'm not sure how long he is out for, I probably should check that. But he will, sounds like, oh, he'll go and he'll play in the later rounds.
Yeah, I mean, this is not new, is it, to an England manager or any manager? And often we've taken players that weren't fit for them to play later on. I think, didn't Kane was, there was questions about whether or not he was fit. Wayne Rooney, there was Beckham. There were times where
Neville didn't make it. Oh, sorry, in terms of taking people along. Yeah, exactly. Beckham played and he wasn't really fit. I think Rooney, definitely the same thing at one point. But I think if I've learned anything, it's that anything is possible. You know? Good. I've learned that from my friend Gareth. Just mate. Yeah,
well, just for the record, I didn't go to this dinner. I wasn't invited. And this is the Jaffan podcast.
Yeah.
James and Flav, not James and Flav. James and guest. James and Flav for now.
Yeah, sorry, that was rude of me. I should have welcomed you on.
I want half
Flav. It's Flav, I guess. Well, I mean, I think the important thing that I feel like I've learned is that you need to be brave, be kind, and follow your dreams. So, Jadon Sancho, you should do the exact same. Anyway, I was asking about books, and then I didn't realise I was going to get a signed book. And then I went in a queue to get the signed book. And I went, what am I? I said this. I went, what am I like asking you about books? You got your own. he went, he wasn't interested. And then I went, I thought it was for teenagers. Your book? He went, yeah, this is that book. And then I said, the book's, is it? I thought it was a different cover, the other book. Now, if I'd said that, or if I'd not said that, correct in saying that or not correct in saying that, either way, I'm a loser. I know.
Right. Yeah.
Because I know in the book that he brought out for teenagers, I know that it was a different cover. And he went, yeah, that was the hardback.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. And that's why we connect, because anything is possible. So okay. I'm just looking to, hopefully I can build my confidence and unleash my potential.
Jadon Sancho, should we talk about him? Or?
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, so Jadon Sancho, he could. He's had problems with Gareth as well, though, hasn't he? That's probably the problem.
It is the problem that, it seems, James, that he needs the right environment. He needs the right amount of leeway. He seems to need a leash, a long leash, of which he can control how and when he behaves and when he turns up, and whatever it is, Dortmund is that place for him, clearly, because he hasn't done it for England and he hasn't done it for United. But that performance last night was sensational. It was incredible. Yeah, yeah. It was scintillating, James. Yeah, it was
titillating for some.
And it's exactly what, I know it's an obvious cliche, but it's exactly what United have been missing, is that skill, that ability to change in a moment the pattern of the game based on individual ability.
Yeah. And in, look, like a Champions League semi-final, is it the weak side of the draw? Yes, it is. But...
Well, that doesn't matter. It's PSG.
Thing is, right, let's talk environment when it comes to Jadon Sancho, okay? Because the environment that he was in at Man United is... clearly not right. It's clearly a bit of a mess. I've heard from a few people recently that, yeah, it's all over the place in terms of the behaviour hasn't changed a little bit. The squad is still, a bit rotten and not connected to the manager, which could be true, could not be true. But when you look at how they play on the pitch, something's not right, clearly. But Jadon Sancho, within that environment, right, the one thing I would sort of be wary of is hubris, but also like going too early with these things, right? Because he broke like a Champions League record for the dribbles in that game, which is brilliant. He's obviously playing well. But so is he playing well, though, because he has sort of like revenge in his heart? And importantly, he's an A-side at Dortmund, isn't he? He's kind of like big. He's a big fish, right?
Yeah.
At Man United, I think he thought he was going to be a big fish, and he's used to being a big fish. Like, he'd been that throughout his career. But obviously something wasn't clicking there. And I don't think, even since he's been at the club, have you ever gone, is he one of the three most important players at that club? Whereas at Dortmund, he is. And so I wonder, and the same with England in terms of like his problems with the first team. Like, I use problems loosely because obviously they're all like elite footballers. But something's not clicked there either. Is there a sort of hurdle there that he's not going to be able to get past unless a manager goes, you're my guy, Jaden, and you are world class, and you're going to play every game, and you're mustard. Like, or is he like, when he hasn't got that sort of bit between his teeth because he's got the desire to prove people wrong. Like, once that levels out, is my point. Once that levels out, be it staying at Dortmund or going back to Man United, is he going to actually still fly?
Does he have the individual resilience? Does he have the inbuilt resilience to perform in the way that he did last night when he's not 100% comfortable in his surroundings? And it's not fair on him to say, yes, he should be, because loads of excellent players suffer in environments that aren't built for them. And often it's skill-based players. And you often see them fade away. And I think if Jadon Sancho had stayed at Man United and hadn't got this move to Borussia Dortmund, he would have faded away until his contract was up. By that point, or Ten Hag had left and a new manager came in who liked him. That's a risk. And by that point, it could have been so long that he's just faded away from everybody's minds, and his own desire in football might have been somewhat impacted. But what has actually happened is he's gone to a place that does celebrate him, does work for him, and ensures and gives him an environment in order to excel. Now, that's what you're buying. That's what Manchester United bought, a player who needs a system around him and needs the right support and needs, obviously, some sort of leeway in terms of discipline. You have some managers are really... The great point here, mate, is what Adel Sarabt in England, his best time was at QPR because he had a manager who understood him. Mm. Spurs, when he came through the ranks at Tottenham, they was like, who is this kid? He is going to be a world beater. He's sensational. But no manager could work with him to find a way of getting him into the team other than Warnock. So you have to find the right manager if you're a player like him. And stick with them. It doesn't have to be with the same manager, but that managing style. Otherwise, if you go with disciplinarians like Conte or like Ten Hag appears to be, where they have no room or no time for ill discipline. But that as a manager is what you need. You need to understand the players and understand that not all of them can fall in line. They're human beings. Adel Tarap couldn't fall in line anywhere else other than Warnock. And even then, he didn't really fall in line. But Warnock knew he was
absolutely
so good.
Didn't fall in line. He
gave him enough rope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that... So you can only get that rope if you're so good, right? Tarap that season was involved in 56% of a team that won the league's goals. So, like, the output... is phenomenal. Steven actually just says, output isn't everything and performances are more important, but he only has one goal and two assists, so people need to relax today. I think there's still a lot of unanswered questions here, and we don't totally know the truth. Because the thing is as well, we're not saying, I think it's not right to say that he's the sort of victim in the scenario either.
Not at all. Not at all.
So
he had a massive role in his downfall at Man United. He should be able to play ball. But what we're talking about is a performance in the Champions League football. And the reason why we're talking about it is that performance in the Champions League semi-final was one of the best I'd seen at that stage in the competition. To do it at that level under that amount of pressure against PSG with the world watching, that is impressive. And that's exactly what Man United have been missing. If you look at what they've got on the right-hand side, which is at times Antony.
Yeah.
Antony could never do what he did last night. So how do we get to the mid at the bottom of why this scenario has played out? Whereas an on-loan player from Manchester United has joined Borussia Dortmund and could well be going to the final of the Champions League, and they're stuck with Antony.
Because I think that because the fire as well, This is what I'd be intrigued to know, and you don't, you can never know, you're obviously just guessing. But two things here is that, like, the fire that's in him right now, is that because he's on loan and he's only there for 6 months anyway? It's like a holiday romance. Whereas and the second part of it is, what do you do in the summer if you're Jadon Sancho or if you're Man United? Because I think what feels clear to me, and something that's been on my mind actually this week, is, so first of all, we were looking at, we had to do an integration with Stathead, and we were looking at Bellingham stats. We were also looking at basically 20-year-olds. So 20-year-olds that have had a lot of goal involvements in the top five leagues. And there's two seasons where Kai Havertz is in like the top 10. And he's obviously had ups and downs along the way. And on the Ripple Effect this week, we had Clive. And Clive absolutely loves Kai Havertz. Like, he absolutely loves him. He's not having it that he's not going to be, not is that isn't brilliant. And that kind of made me think as well. And he said that from a like an emotional point of view, Havertz was kind of on the floor a little bit at Chelsea. It obviously wasn't working for him. He didn't have the support that he felt that he needed. And we've seen how good Kai Havertz has become as the season has progressed, despite having a difficult start. Because the environment's been right. But at the same time, the sort of 20, whatever he is, 3-year-old, 24-year-old, that we're like, he's washed. Actually, he's just was, you know, you've got to remember the 20-year-old. And I think with Jadon Sancho, if I was Man United, I would be going, I mean, I would be changing manager anyway, because I just don't see it working with Ten Hag personally. But I think another reason to do that is, well, another decision that needs to be made is, do you sell Jadon Sancho because you've not got many sellable assets and he's had a really good loan spell, so just let him go? Or do you bring in a manager and allow him to be one of your top three players? Like, is he good enough to be one of the top three players in a Man United team that has to go on and become great?
I think what you said there about Ten Hag, the fact that is a problem that needs to be solved outside of Jadon Sancho, is the most important thing. But then you add the kicker of the fact that Jadon Sancho could come back and be the player that we saw last night for 20 games in the Premier League next year. You think, well, that helps make your decision. If you've got a long-term plan for Ten Hag at Man United, then you don't bring Jadon Sancho back, you sell him. But you need to be completely convinced in what you're planning to do with Ten Hag. And I don't know what they're planning to do. Obviously, how would I know? But it is an interesting situation. His contract's up in 2026, which means that they need to find to make a decision, because that if they don't bring him back next year, send him out on loan, he's got a year left on his contract. And then what you got? I mean, if he has an incredible season in Germany, then he might double his value to what it is right now. But it's interesting. My, if I was a United fan, or if this was a comparable thing happening at Tottenham, I'd be looking to replace the manager anyway. And then you've got to find the right manager for the job. You don't bring in a manager just because Jadon Sancho might like him. Irrelevant of what happens as a manager, first and foremost, get the right man and deal with Sancho after.
Yeah. But as a broad strategy, Man United need to be, and Tottenham, I think, as well, need to be thinking about, when you're going to spend big money, you're probably going to spend big money on younger players, and they're going to cost loads. So because you can't be totally certain of sell-on value for players these days, especially at the top, because there's not enough teams to sell to. So you really, really need to invest in those players. That's what Arsenal have done really well. And that's what Tottenham need to do. It's what Man United absolutely need to do. So again, the final question, I think, one for the comments maybe, is Jadon Sancho worth investing being part of that group that you invest in when it comes to Man United? Or is it one to sort of cut loose? That's the decision they need to make. Got to get it right.
My quick answer would be no. I'd cut my losses if I,
really?
If
That's
I was
interesting.
United.
Should he? Yeah. Would you take him at Tottenham?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that sounds contradictory, but the gamble of... they've already invested £80 million in him, right? So you're talking about next 3 years. That's a new contract for Jadon Sancho. If it doesn't work based on his temperament, that investment is down the drain. If he finds a manager that he can't work with again, then it's all down the drain. If he joined Spurs, it would be under the idea that he'd had extensive conversations with our manager, who's going to be in place the next 2 years or so, I hope. And it might work. But in this instance, there's a lot of water gone under the bridge at Manchester United. And you're right, they need to invest in the right ways. Spending rules coming in are going to restrict how much all these clubs can spend, and it needs to be spent in the right way. I think with United and Sancho, it's too much has gone. That's my feeling.
Fraser Fletcher, this is interesting. United are aware of the mess that Ten Hag has been working under. Are you not interested to see how he operates under a proper structure? I am somewhat. I think also there's, in terms of the market's not amazing in terms of managers. Well, I was chatting to Joe Tomlinson about this morning. Is the thing you've got to do, if you want to kind of go with like a guy who's done it before, you want sort of to have seen the experience, you either do that or you have someone who you are just really mesmerized by and is kind of brilliant enough to go and take the club on. And that's really difficult for Man United, because Man United generally would go, well, who's the best? Who's done it already? Let's go and get them. Which is why I think it could be Tuchel if they do make that change. I think with Ten Hag, I just can't see what he's doing. I know I've said this a few times now, but regardless of injuries, there should be something in place that I can see. I just can't see it. And so that's why if I was a Man United fan, or just generally my opinion on it, watching Man United games, is I would go somewhere else. Especially if you're from top to bottom, you're getting best in class, best in class, best in class, and those best in class people supposedly should be able to see through the Louis van Gaals or the Mourinhos of this world and just get the right person who can galvanize the club and be super smart as a football manager. Then surely that you've got to get very lucky. You're very lucky if that is Ten Hag, and he's just been hiding in the background, or you know, he's not hiding, is he? Like, it's not gone right this year. So I'm not too bothered.
Of the United fans you've spoken to, and I'm not talking about the hearing the constant noise that comes from social media about them, but like Joe or you know, and any others you might have spoken to, Jim, what is the mood? My feeling, the ones I've spoken to are kind of like, let's just see what Ten Hag can do now that Ratcliffe is in, and they don't necessarily want a new manager.
Yeah, I think they're actually very loyal to him, which I'm impressed by. I think I would suggest it's 40% are happy to kind of hang in there with him because it has been a mess. But you would hope that that manager is a guiding light in terms of solving that mess. Like I do the podcast on Tuesday, and it's often in my mind a lot. Clive's talking about when you getting rid of Ozil, you're getting rid of Aubameyang. He was saying it's not really about the individual, it's about the culture. And when he works with people about leadership and getting the right culture and stuff like that, anyone who is kind of a large influence that doesn't have the sort of ideas that you want, you need to sort of wash that away. I'm not saying Ed Ten Hag's a bad influence, but is he not dry? He should be driving the right influence, and I don't see that. So that's why I'm struggling with him personally. Anyway, Arsenal, Vlad.
Yeah,
could they?
What are you talking about? The North London derby.
Well, I think I think we'd be amiss not to touch on it. What I would say is Tottenham. I've written down here.
Yeah.
Well, look, we know Arsenal could. We know Arsenal could. You said that. You've said that repeatedly.
Yeah.
Obviously, disappointing result for Spurs. A lot of people saying
not this one performance.
It's
fair, isn't it?
It's tricky, isn't it? So what do you think? So, right, I've written down Tottenham growing pains, the truth, what is your... We don't talk about Tottenham actually that much, or haven't done for a few weeks, at least. So
yeah.
where are you at? Forget the fan base, generally. Where are you at with the recent performances, conceding 7 in the last 2 games, obviously against solid teams, but it's a team that's like... very gung-ho, but seems to be making defensive mistakes.
I am absolutely comfortable with where Tottenham are currently. I don't want to caveat the fact that it's likely that we won't finish in the Champions League with the fact that we've come from a club that this time last year was completely broken. Like it was lacking in direction. We had a director of football who was essentially thrown out of the game. We had the complete capitulation of Conte and Stellini coming in and Ryan Mason as manager. We had three managers last season. Getting battered wherever we went. It was a mess. And so there was so much work to do in the summer. Not least figuring out what we're going to do when Kane eventually leaves, which he did the day before the season started. For us now to be complaining about set pieces, when last season we were complaining about what was going to fucking happen to our football club, I think that's progress. Now, overall, I think there are things that Postecoglou needs to sort out. But of course, he's 8 months, 9 months into his job. There'll be tons of stuff that he still needs to figure out and make better. And he said it himself. He will achieve this. To hear him say this, I will achieve success, and it won't be about dealing with set pieces. To have someone, a manager who's so sure of it, whether he does it or not, is almost irrelevant at this point. Because I've never heard a manager at Spurs talk in a way that he is convinced that he will achieve success. And if he's convinced of it, then I'm convinced of it. How else can I be? Mm. There are people, naysayers out there that they're picking parts of things. Why won't he handle and deal with the set piece situation at Tottenham? Conceded 14 this season and 2 against Arsenal, and there was a similar issue at Celtic in his first season where they were conceded chances, and some of the narratives from the Celtic support was like, we're dominating games, but it's being thrown away with one set piece and one chance on goal. Statistically improved dramatically in the following season. And Postecoglou himself has said that he's this isn't the first time in my career that I've been criticised for not being able to sort out set pieces. So if it all feels familiar to him, then who's to say we can't go on and achieve everything he thinks we can?
I think what's interesting here is that I bet he's already got this plan in place. I think there's years to this game, like, of getting yourself to this point. Like, you can see that. You see that with the Klopp Liverpool side that got to that point, even the Man City side. It takes a few years, and then there's different facets to the game. All are very important. But I think with Tottenham, it's very clear which facet you're focusing on this year. And we said at the start of the season, after a couple of preseason games, let's just get the table up. We said, didn't we? Didn't we say something like 70? What if you score 70 goals, concede 70 goals?
I know what you're talking about. I said if we focus on the goal difference, if we can get 30, we'll finish in the top four. But we got 15, so that's what we said.
I said if you score 70 goals and concede 70 goals and you finish sixth or eighth, you would take that because of how the packaging is miles better. Obviously, yeah. It seems silly when you're going, oh, we're doing all this good work and then we're spoiling it with that last element of it, which is, but it's a huge element, but it's one that maybe not, is obviously not his priority. His priority is with the ball, going and winning games. And that's what got you back into it. The next stage will need to be that, because I think you've seen that with Arteta. You've seen that with Man City. You have to be able to score goals from set pieces, and you have to keep them out down the other end, because those are the scraps that the opposition end up like living on, right?
Yeah.
When you get really good.
There are two issues that need to be improved on. And if we do improve on them, then we will finish higher up in the league next year. I know that's such an obvious thing to say, but those two things are defending set pieces, scoring from set pieces, which can't be any worse than they have been this year. And also how we deal with counter-attacking football, because the level of which teams in the Premier League can counter is incredibly high. Like West Ham on the counter-attack are deadly. Nottingham Forest, they're deadly, and they could get relegated. Like, they're literally one of the...
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Best sides in the league at countering. I appreciate a lot of their football is counter-attack based because of the way they have to play. So if we can solve those issues, if we can develop a composure and a comfortableness to playing and holding possession in what is one of the most difficult leagues in the world, if not the difficult, then you'll see improvements. But again, this is why it's so important that Postecoglou has to stand fast in his ideas about how he wants us to play football. We cannot deviate from that while he is the manager. This is the way we're going to play. This is the way he's insisted from the start, the way we're going to play. We will hold the ball. We will attack. And the more we do that, the better at it we will get. We gain nothing apart from maybe a couple of points here and there. Nothing in this moment when he's trying to develop this idea and to develop this ideology of how the game should be played by abandoning it in the hope that you get a point at home against West Ham.
Yeah.
You have to believe in it. And if it doesn't work in 12 months, if it's still not working, right, well, we tried. We gave everything. But to abandon it now, because there is a glimpse of Champions League football, I think in the long run, just won't work. Certainly not with this manager. And if it doesn't work, like I say, football never ends. There'll be next season. Yeah, we'll get another manager. Yeah, we'll talk around it again. We'll be excited again. And that's football.
Yeah. I just quickly have a look at it. Yeah, look, it's interesting. Like the set piece XG is third highest. Goals conceded. Burnley worse at set pieces. You can see less shots than other teams as well. There, it's a small thing, but it's a big thing.
I'd interesting if you can see at the quality of chance that we're conceding must be sky high.
Yeah, I can't. What's the point? What do you mean? Well, I can only click the buttons that are there.
You know, in terms of chances conceded, who has the highest XG against?
Sorry, say it again.
If you look at the charts in terms of most shots faced in the league this season, before the Newcastle game, I think we were at third best. But the standard of the quality of the chance we were conceded. We have been conceding. It's been very high. So I was thinking if there was a way of seeing it, like the XG against for Tottenham.
What over the yeah? So the XG against. So there's open play. Is this one? Is this so? That's not with set pieces, and your XG against.
We're not very good at it, are we? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're not very good at what? Not giving away easy chances.
Big chances, yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's how you play, isn't it? Like, and I think that's year two, year three, where you need the contingency plans. You need the right centre. You probably got the right centre backs, but you need a backup Udogie, not Ben Davies. You don't want to hammer him, but like same with Porro. Like you need two great players in every position. But at least he's got a vision and an idea. Right, enough of that. Enough of that nonsense. I did. Jim Big Laughwood, lots of good comments this week. We're back, guys. The bits are back. The fun's back. Oh, actually, I did just want to touch on Queen's Park Rangers are bloody safe. What were we worried about? What on earth are we worried about? Honestly, don't worry about it.
Safe. It was the absolute class at the end of the season.
One, with two, lead. Three, four goals.
When was the last time you won 4-0 at home?
Fucking hell. I have no clue.
Did you go, Jim?
Yeah. I did.
And, Friday night.
Friday night, under the lights.
At Loftus Road. What, smashing promotion candidates Leeds United 4-0 when they're desperate to win?
Mate, like the players they had, Jesus. Also, we were brilliant, though. Absolutely brilliant. I didn't wear the shirt, which I'm kind of annoyed at because I could have really juiced up the superstition on it.
Well, now you know the answer that it doesn't mean anything. So you don't have to worry about the
I hadn't even thought of that. I honestly hadn't thought about that for a second.
Well, the only way your brain worked with that was Chamber didn't wear the shirt because it's lucky.
Yeah. Because I could have juiced up the luck, is what I'm saying. I said in terms of my luck XG would have gone through the roof. Well, and actually, forget the XG, just the luck goals would have gone through the roof.
Right.
But I've wasted that now. Yeah, I actually didn't think about that at all. I just thought about it's basically I'm pouring more luck on it if I had a tape warning on that one.
Okay,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I didn't. It's annoying.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's actually lost the shirt's lost luck somehow. But you know, that should have Marty's face on it, really.
Will QPR have any money to spend at all?
We're in a better place money wise, If Luton, Burnley, Burnley are going to be strong. I've got a funny feeling Burnley stay up, you know. It's hard. They've got a chance. They've got a bloody chance. But in terms of the teams going down, teams going up, I think it's going to be a weaker division next year, which gives us a better chance. So, you know, with the right. It's so funny. We're going into the game. We still need a point to win the game. Honestly, about 20 minutes in, we're 2-0 up. I can hear the lads around me going, I'm telling you, all we need is a striker and a goalkeeper, and we're fucking going up next season. I was like, can everyone just slow down?
I love it, though.
Honestly, I had the same question about three times. We're only three players away. Oh my God. But it just shows.
I love it, mate. That's what football's all about. Yeah. You're right.
It is madness, isn't it, at the end of the season, how the results just get so crazy. And we go into this weekend with them. This weekend with the Rangers are safe. Any QPR fans watching this who are going to Coventry, I can't stress this enough, get a burger. Get a burger from Coventry. They're immense. And enjoy it. And, you know, if you miss a goal because you've eaten the burger, it doesn't matter, does it? Does not matter. But
do you reckon, it's
Birmingham
last week. Do you reckon Jude Bellingham has given Birmingham a second's fault? He doesn't give a shit.
Is it on his mind?
Of course not. He's forgotten he's even played for him.
You can see, but I doubt he can even spell Birmingham anymore. Right, Jim Big Laugh Award.
Dropped his Birmingham accent. Don't hear that anymore, do you, in the interviews?
Yeah.
Vamos.
Not hearing that, are we? Right. Jim Big Laugh Award. So, the UTFT. Everton fan, a long-time slug here. Flav, I could bloody kiss you. Hearing a non-toffee talk about us so glowingly is a great feeling that we've been missing for years. Whenever we're discussed by fan channels, it's always because we're a basket case. You're my favourite guest. I hope Jimbo gets you back in next week.
It's like a Jekyll and Hyde, that is, because I've been robustly attacked by the Everton fan base this season.
Yeah. It's a funny old game, isn't it?
Say nice things.
Cycles. Yeah.
People are nice.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll get to a top comment, which kind of touched on that in a second. Jack Byrne, ultimate power play from Flav. I couldn't find. This is this podcast, right? That I, in my preparation for this podcast, I was skimming through the podcast to try and find you drinking from a mug.
This one.
This was top comments. Yeah. Top comment. Ultimate power play from Flav. 178 likes. Flav drinking from a mug that quite greedily has two handles and not using either of them. But I couldn't find the moment, but at least we've seen the mug now. RSG says he just uses it for imaginary trophy lifts. Oh, come on.
That's not necessary, is it?
Yeah, we'll let a drink.
Come on. I've all had a
By the way, if you do want to become a patron and join us in the comments, you can do so. There's a link in the description. Please get involved. We're doing a sweepstake, aren't we? We're going to be doing a Euro sweepstake. And so if you want to be a part of that, where we'll have to fork out the prize money for it, then you can do for less than a London pint.
Done that once already, we as well.
Yeah, done that, yeah.
What is it then? Is it like a sweepstake for every international tournament that ever takes place? What, are we going to have to be out of pocket for the African nations next time, are we? A sweepstake for that as well, do you?
Yeah, we do, yeah. And before you ask, no, we're not doing the Copa America this summer. Back off. Umbro Cup. Ridiculous. Freddie Finlow says, I've got a new bit. Where do players sit on the team coach? It's the replies to this that made me laugh. Where do players sit on the team coach? Now, also, for our patrons, could you please now write in the chat random players that you would like us to discuss where they would sit on a bench, on the bus, sorry. He says, I can see Joey Barton sat at the back of the bus, no way near the manager at the front. Likewise, someone like Harry Maguire loves a seat near the boss. So these are the replies to it. Audio Stylable says, he said, for example, Odegaard pushes the assistant out of his seat just to sit next to the boss. And then we had a bit of drama. Sean Peake said, I'm not sure about this one, Freddie. Not happy with the bit. Doesn't want the bit. Sorry, Freddie, I'm not sure about this one. I'm calling this one. He says, wanting this bit reeks of someone who would sit next to the teachers on a field trip. Dan pipes it. This, not Freddie. Dan now entered the conversation. He says, now less of that, Sean. This one might have legs. I think Miggy Almiron doesn't even sit down. He just runs up and down the aisle like an excited kid. All the other Newcastle players look at him with contempt. Sean came back. He said, I'm not sold. I'd love to see the lads take this on. I think they'll agree that wanting to listen to two men talk about people on a bus is not only deathly boring, but would only be enjoyed by bus riding window lickers, which I'm not sure you're allowed to say anymore. I'm not sure you're ever supposed to say that. Yeah. Brackets? Harry Kane.
Can't say anymore.
Yeah.
Has he added those brackets? I can't read what you're reading.
Yeah.
That is outrageous. I think that's a 1 week ban. However, it has given me an idea. What can't we say anymore?
Yeah.
Discuss on each podcast.
Yeah. But we might have to get a guest to read it out. Hang on. I don't feel like this is going to work. I'm not sure.
This is a terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Dan came back. Obviously, so Sean's not happy. He doesn't feel like it's a bit. Doesn't think it's going to work. Dan said, we discussed buffet tactics for like 6 months. It doesn't take much to entertain the slugs. Sean replied again, buffet chat was elite and was the absolute pinnacle of the pod in many slugs' eyes. Bus chat has none of the reward, learning capacity, tension, hilarity, glory or repulsiveness that a good buffet story has. And so there we are.
We can all relate to it as well. We can all relate to buffet chats. We've all been there.
Yeah. You're going to need a bigger plate. That's one of my favourite lines.
I like this from Hat.
Whenever I approach a breakfast buffet, if I stay at a hotel, I always want to say to him, "You're going to need a bigger plate, mate."
I can't walk into a toilet in a restaurant without thinking about the man being sick and spotting the gatto.
Spotting the what?
Gatto. He goes, oh, look, gatto.
That's a good bit. What's something you do that you can't not think of a Jaffin quote or story that we've had in the past?
That's good.
Harry Adderley says Timo Werner misses the bus and gets the next one. He's always in front of the bus.
Good.
He's always in front of the bus, isn't he? He's always offside. Emerson Royal definitely sits cross-legged with his feet tucked under the... With his feet tucked under his legs. What, like that?
Like that. Legs crossed. Wow. Okay. Okay.
No, Jim, so Timo Werner, right? You know, all clubs, when they're on the up, they always do the huddle, don't they? And when things are really difficult, they do a huddle. Fans are like this. Let's just pretend to say some stuff before the start of the game. Timo Werner He misses the huddle every single game. I'm not joking. There'll be 10 players around the doing the huddle, and Timo Werner will just be walking around staring at the sky like that, just going out. And they're like, Timo! And he's like, fuck. And he runs back. This isn't the word lie. He misses the huddle every game. He's I don't know what's going on inside his head.
I thought what you were going to say, I could imagine him just going past it and then trying just missing it. Back again. Just like crisscrossing it time and again. God bless him.
Doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on.
I like the sort of the lifespan of being a fan of a team that has Timo Werner in it from signing to leaving. I wonder if the feelings of the Tottenham fans is similar, and the story arc is similar to Chelsea.
We put out just to gauge the mood. Has he done enough to get a contract at Tottenham? And it's 50-50. Some people are not having him, saying he's nowhere near good enough. I think a lot of that's preloaded with the narrative around him. I don't think he's anywhere near as bad a player as some people make out. And others say, yeah, obviously £16 million makes complete sense.
I think I would let him go back. Darwin Nunez. Darwin Nunez. Ugh. Runs down the aisle, flipping everyone's tables up, knocking drinks out of hands. Pure agent of chaos. Yeah. Will Starling says John Stones starts at the back of the bus, but during the journey, he sort of makes his way forward slowly. Really good. Because on school trips, if you're at the back, if you're in the back seat middle, you're a high energy, cool person, generally. Popular.
Like, where would Jadon Sancho be on the Man United school bus? He would be right at the back right in the corner.
Yeah, he would. I thought the exact. What I initially thought is he's not on the back row, but he's on the second to back row on the side, like by the window. But yeah, he could be right back left or back right as well.
Harry Kane would be sitting on the driver's lap, wouldn't he?
Harry
Kane would be sitting on the driver's lap.
Just out talking to him about his latest goal. Yeah. James Ryan says, Raven says, Madueke and Jackson will try to sit at the back, but Palmer and Gallagher will tell him to F off. It's good. Jason Tindall, Lyndon says, is using the microphone at the front of the bus trying to get everyone to sing Sweet Caroline, but to no avail. Yeah. Well, maybe lay. Maybe it's got legs. Maybe it's got legs. Let's find out. Signs of a good pod. Put this together last week. Asked you to go. Let us know what were the signs of a good pod. Ozspur said, signs of a good pod. Jim doing that laugh where he takes his headphones off ever so slightly. Leans back in his chair. Not sure if we've done that yet. Mr. Fresh Pizza said, a sign of a good pod. This week's guest, Flav. Quote marks. There you go. Well, we've done that. Jay Cartwright said, the biggest sign of an elite Jaffin podcast is anytime Flav shows us one of his animals, chicken or Frank. I'm not fussed. It's rare, but it's gold. We'll never see an animal again, will we?
Might do, because once I get the house sorted, whatever that will be, I'll be building an office at home. So there may be animals that may make an appearance.
What's... You couldn't sneak a chicken in there, could you?
What? I don't think chickens are the chicken. Having chickens is a thing of the past, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of death involved in that, isn't it, it seems.
I can't tell you how much death there has been in having chickens. Like, you just think it's an easy ride. Our chickens get some eggs. Mate, it's not. It's mayhem. It's really? Absolute mayhem.
Tell me about the chicken game.
The pecking orders is a real thing.
Very good.
Yeah. Yes. His name. That's where pecking order comes from.
Does it?
Chicken. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So there is a hierarchy in the chicken kingdom, what was my back garden. And you had different personalities. Like, you had the Slater sisters, who were evil, who would be simply, they were like bouncers. And if you had like some sort of ill chick, they would go and peck the fucking shit out of it because they don't want any illness. I had to save two chicks. This is true. I had to save two chicks from the Slater sisters who were trying to kill them. We managed to hand raise them, right? And one of them turned out into a hermaphrodite, would lay eggs and was also a cockerel. They Slater sisters had no time for that. Absolutely zero time for it. Seriously. No time for it, Jim. They want, like, we've got to kill this thing. We don't want it in there. And we're
because it's hermaphrodite. because yeah, it's not on, do you think?
Yeah, well, we just assumed because they some of the chicks were left to just, you know, do whatever they want to do. Mm. This poor chick was targeted by the Slater sisters, so we had to save it. And when we saved it, it grew up to be a bit of a dickhead, really loud, and could lay eggs as well. So I think that's why they targeted it, because of that.
Well, that's blown my mind, the pecking order. I didn't know about that. The basic pattern of social organisation within a flock of poultry, in which each bird pecks another lower in the scale without fear of retaliation and submits to pecking by one of higher rank.
So,
wow.
So when you feed these chickens, and there are lots of them, they order. So the ones that are not at the higher end of the scale in terms of popularity amongst the other chickens sit back and wait for the others to finish. Often, the cockerels will sit around the feeding bowl, right? And they will let the hens, the ones that most likely to lay probably, or their girlfriends, as we like to say, they would let them eat as much as they want. Then the cockerels would eat. Then the shit chickens would eat.
Yeah, shit chickens. Wow, that's fascinating. I learned something there. That's great. Thomas Martin suggesting that they were bigoted. Do you agree with that? Would you say they're bigoted?
Yeah, but they don't give a shit about it. They haven't caught up in all those sort of social conformities, right? If they don't like hermaphrodites, they're going to kill it. That's what these chickens do. That's why in the long short of it, we had to get rid of the Slater sisters because they were just fucking assholes, man. They just leave the chicks alone.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of them. And just to round this off, James,
good.
Death is very close to keeping chickens constantly. Right. I never thought I'd have to kill an animal in my life. I've killed
loads. What's the upside of the chicken game? For good reason, not just for a laugh. Aside from eggs.
Not killing the chickens for a laugh. I'm just saying, you know.
Aside from getting eggs, what is the upside of the chicken game?
There is nothing better. There's nothing better, mate, than the sun, than sitting out in the garden. You know, it might be a nice sort of 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and you're either, you know, you might have having a cup of tea and you're looking down and watching the chickens walk about. That's living there.
Yeah.
That's living right there.
That's nice. Why do you like the way they walk around? What's that?
They're just funny. They're funny and they have personalities. They've got personalities. They're among the best pets I've ever had, but they're a fucking nightmare as well. Like when the fox finally came and got them, and I'm saying we lost about a good 38 chickens. It was a bit of a relief.
That's a lot.
We had too many cockerels. You know what cockerels do at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Shag.
They have a cock-a-doodle off. And you have one of them does it, then the other one goes, what's he saying? He'll do it. And then you'll have five chickens just going,
shut up. You shut up. You shut up. You shut up. No, you shut up. Interesting.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, and I don't want to go about dispatching these cockerels. What my game's about, but by the same token, I can't let this continue. Something has to be done because they're very noisy.
Mm. Okay,
and right. Then Fox came and sorted it out.
You got going a couple of minutes, haven't you?
Yep.
Okay, so on Spurs, actually, Spurs. We were talking about the fruit bowl and the Spurs with the melon, but it turns out they were Spurs with a pear. Of the fruit bowl, but that mention has given me inspiration. Footballers as part of an English breakfast. Bacon. For everyone besides James, Messi, the undeniable goat.
Okay.
I like, well, bacon's no. Overrated.
Right. I agree with you, but people seem to like it.
Mm. Egg. Gerrard, one of the very best, would be the best in every position, incredibly versatile and consistent. Sausage. Yep, agreed. Gascoigne makes a good meal into a great meal. The deciding factor and pivotal in making the difference. Yeah. Black pudding. Michael Owen. Great in England. Shit everywhere else. Did well at Madrid.
And in Liverpool, obviously. Yeah. I'm interested in the grilled tomato. Is that on there?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't think you're going to like it. Mushroom. Jordan Henderson. Underrated part of the side. Still an acquired taste, but it's very important if you know your way around the plate. Baked beans. Busquets. The undisguised heartbeat. Watch the plate and you'll never care about them. Watch the beans and you'll see the whole plate. A I don't know what that means.
That's magical.
So good. Watch the plate and you'll never care about them. Watch the beans and you'll see the whole plate. Tomato. Harry Winks. Kind of all right at times, but if it wasn't there, he wouldn't even notice. Very good. Yeah. Hash Brown. Solskjaer. Perfect super sub. Why isn't it a guaranteed starter? Fuck no. But it goes in every time for me. Really good. And got gentle disputes, but we'll do that next time. Get your gentle disputes in. We can maybe do superstitions as well. Get your heartbreaking legacies in as well. And then, yeah, very quickly, we'll do football rhyming slang. Barnsley, who put forward the potential new bit. Well done. But we've got a few here. First of all, Tom Jordan. Now, this confused me. I'm just intrigued to see if it confuses you, Flav. Are you listening?
Yeah. Good. Yes, I am listening.
Tom Jordan says, if I need a mate to grab my jacket for me, it's always grab my Kenny.
Kenny. Never heard of that. That sounds like some sort of.
Why are you confused? I was confused at the exact same moment. Why are you confused?
Kenny makes no sense. I've never heard that expression, but they do speak well weird in Bournemouth. If you've ever been, the accent is bizarre. So having freaky words with a freaky accent isn't.
Because the football rhyming slang, it's a player, isn't it? It's like, get my Romelu's.
Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah, so I went Dalglish, right? But Tom's talking about Kenny Jacket.
That's rubbish, John.
Get my Kenny. Also, if we're going out for food or a meal, if you will, then we're going for a Heskey. Better. But you let yourself down on the first one. Okay. Mm. Be better, Tom.
Matt Knight's piping up in the comments. Is he from Bournemouth, are you? Look, it's not... You do talk weird.
Yeah. Hector Marshall. Football rhyming slang. Back at uni, my mate turned to me and said, turn the Tariq on. Puzzled, I looked around. He said, the lamp. Of course, he meant Tariq Lamptey.
That's poor.
See, I thought this had legs, this bit. I'm not so sure now, because these need to be funnier than they are. Yeah.
Kenny is the most famous Dalglish in football.
Yeah. Job Yearly said, I haven't got Solomon is always a classic, Solomon Kalou. But I think where real football rhyming is made is when you can prove your dedication to the cause. As an art student, I often find myself in spaces where football fans are scarce. But those moments when someone pipes up with a question no one on earth has got the answer to, and I smugly reply, I haven't got Solomon, never cease to bring me joy as the looks of the, who the fuck is Solomon pour in? The real shithousery comes in when you don't even give the perplexed art snob the satisfaction of an explanation. It's the perfect reply to stupid questions.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
But you won't get any better than Desmond Tutu, though, would you?
To Desmond.
That is
strong.
It's folklore, isn't it?
Works.
Can we not start our own? Let's find, we don't have to hear them if they're real. Let's create some.
Yeah, true. Sorry, very quickly, and then I promise you can go, because I want to set this up for tomorrow. Right, here we go. Sorry,
right,
go on. Elliot Lacey, I have a slow rumbling debate. This is gentle disputes, get yours in. I have a slow rumbling debate with my friend who claims he can eat 10 McDonald's quarter pounders back to back. I say, canny bollocks. The debate comes when asking him to prove it. I said, if he goes to McDonald's and buys 10 quarter pounders and finishes them, I'll give him the money for them. He says I need to buy them all first and he will prove that he can eat them. But if I buy them and he can't finish them, which he won't, I've already spent the money.
Look, listen to this. If you will film it and we'll show it on Jaffin, the man that could eat 10 quarter pounders in a row, I will buy the burgers.
Well, yeah.
But you have to film it, otherwise I'm not interested and I won't pay you the money. But we will buy the burgers. If you can prove to us and show us, this is like heart back to bolognese, wasn't it? The amount of bolognese you can make 750 grams of bolognese, that's insane. No man alive can eat 10 quarter pounders in one sitting. Prove it and I will buy the burgers.
Yeah, I'll tell you what as well. So we'll buy the burgers and we will give the exact same amount that is the cost of the burgers as a prize to the person who's right.
Yes. Right, but that isn't a free-for-all. That's not for anyone. Well, I've done it. I'm going to buy the books. If you
Elliot Lacey. It's him.
Elliot Lacey. Although, if anyone wants to try it and film it, we will
probably analyze it.
The bit, This is the bit, Jim, this is the bit we've been waiting for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
Can a man eat 10 quarter pounders in a row? And with that, I've got to go.
You've got to go. You go, Flav, you go. I'm just going to show the world this because it's the best thing I've seen this week. And it is the dad of a groom tapping him on the shoulder and in slow-mo go, we're 3-0 up when he's just got married. Get in there. It's the best thing I've ever fucking seen. Right, bye, guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.